their books here in the back, and you're free to go back there and browse. Ronnie Green will be handling the book sales, and she's not here at the moment, but Stephanie McGinnis, who normally handles that, her mother has broken her hip, and Stephanie's kind of having to take care of her. So Ronnie Green, I'll introduce Ronnie tonight so you can see who to pay the money to. We're pleased to have Mike Michikowski come, and yeah, I'm getting better. He's come to teach us some Greek. So, Mike, the floor is yours.
Can you hear me? Great. Okay. Greek of the New Testament. It's language. So, it's the Lord's language of the New Testament. So the more familiar with it we get, the more familiar with the actual tongue that the New Testament came out in. And I can say this, that expert on it, this is going to be somewhat of a nonchalant study rather than an academic study. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to run over some really important words in Ephesians 1 and Colossians 1 in the Greek that have to do with our calling. And we're going to try to enunciate or pronounce these words absolutely correctly. I'm going to say that I'm not going to teach you the alphabet. I'm not going to teach you about accents. But I'm going to assume that you know that. And even if you don't, it's all right. It's all right. What you should do is you should, first of all, learn the alphabet in the Greek and how to pronounce very correctly every letter. And then also when you study the Greek, let's say, you know, I mean, there's many helps that you can get. You can get studies on the Koine Greek that you have to stick with them, though. It's not something that, I mean, you're actually learning a language. Did you like learning English? Did you like learning German? You know, I mean, so you're learning a language. But the beauty of it is that I believe that the Holy Spirit will help you learn it. And also, I believe that once you start pronouncing these words, there's something that happens. There's a beauty. There's a beauty to what's called opening up the Greek channel of your mind. That's what my buddy from Florida, Eddie the Greek, Eddie Medrano, he usually does this, but he's in Florida now. He's living in Florida. And he usually teaches these classes, but I'm his good friend. He knows the mystery on truth. And he and I both realize that once you start even recognizing the words and saying them, you're going to become more familiar with it, and it's going to be easier for you rather than looking at it as, oh man, look at all that gibberish or something. Oh, look at all those goofy words or letters, okay? But the thing to realize is this. I can say this for a surety. One of them is that this is the language that the Lord used to write the New Testament. Originally, the New Testament was written with no punctuation, all in capital letters. All right? It's called the uncial. Uncial. Now, these aren't all capital Greek letters. This is, I forgot the word they use, diminutive or something, where you have capital letters and small letters. But originally, the scriptures were written in all capital letters, no chapters, no verse numbers, and no punctuation. That's how it was written originally. So over the years, you could say, "Wow, I have my King James Version." Well, there's a lot of things that went into that. Even the divisions of the chapters And I would say that those divisions aren't always maybe totally correct. All right. So also translations of words from the original Greek to the English aren't always exactly correct. And I'm not putting anything down. But I'm saying ultimately, if you could study and know Koine Greek and then get a hold of a couple of really good lexicons, which is a fancy word for dictionary. We have a English lexicon, a German lexicon, and we have a Koine Greek lexicon. So not only are you studying a language, but you're studying a dictionary. Do you like doing that? Do you like studying words? Because when you say, oh man, I'm going to learn that, I'm going to learn that Koine Greek. Well, you better like learning. You better like words. You better like definitions. You better like searching. You better like hunting. You better like studying, and you better like the dictionary, because that's what you're doing. You're studying the Greek language. So if you're not willing to do that, or you don't have the energy to do that, you could pray about it. You know, and you can delve in it to your certain energies or abilities. But I believe this also too, that if you endeavor in the Koine Greek, you're going to find a beauty that's not totally in the English. I can say that for sure. You're going to go, oh man, that's a little bit fuller meaning on that word there than I knew to be true. Okay, so what we're going to do is I'm going to just go over some words, and that's what we're going to put them up here. We're going to pronounce them, and we're going to go into what they mean, and I'll tell you what they mean, and what I'm going to do is read Ephesians 1, and when we get to a word that I'm going to describe, like ulagetas. Ulagetas. That's how you pronounce this word. I'm going to tell you what it is. All right? And then we're going to go on to the next word. That's basically it, all right? So, here we go. I have an interlinear here. What's that? An interlinear is, it's the King James Version. So you can read, you can read the English version. And then they put the original Greek in lines, and underneath there they actually translate it word by word in the English. An interlinear, very valuable to have. Very valuable to have. One is the Stevens text. That's the one that long ago Oscar Baker would always promote. And when I was a young guy, not too long ago, what are you laughing at, Tom? Oscar would always... I'd go to these conferences, and I was like chewing up all this stuff, and he'd say, get the Stevens text of 1550, the interlinear. So I said, okay, I'll buy one, and I bought one. And then I researched the originality of the New Testament text. That's a whole nother study. What happened to the scriptures that basically were written... And we're done being written, let's just say, A.D. 70 or so. What happened from A.D. 70 to A.D. 600? What happened to the scriptures? What happened from A.D. 600 to A.D. 1400? What happened to the scriptures? Awesome study. Because you'll find that in there is the Dark Ages. And why were they dark? Because an organization scooped up the scriptures, combined it only into one language that only the rich could know, and they hid the scriptures from mankind. That's the Roman Catholic Church. And not only did they do that, but they had power over countries that might have wanted to translate the scriptures into their languages. So they'd get on the church's quote of those countries and say, you better not do that, or we're going to financially break you or something, or we're going to war against you. So all of that, and of course the evil one was behind that. And so it's a real interesting study as to how the Lord allowed the scriptures to remain intact, and eventually guys gave up their life for the scriptures. You'll find that in England and thereabouts, men came up and they decided, oh, we're going to take this Latin Vulgate scriptures, and we're going to turn the Latin Vulgate into English or into Greek. Well, they paid with their lives for it. And then you have what they call the Reformation in there. Martin Luther and all that. Well, that was something that really didn't have to do with the translation of the scriptures, but it had to do with works and faith. Heavy-duty things that are basic to us now, but men died for in the past. And so another huge study, which would be an interesting one that I might want to give one day, is what happened to the original scriptures that were written right from the hands of the apostles? While we don't have them, we might have a couple of fragments of the Gospel of John or something like that, they claim. But ultimately, we do not have any of the original New Testament at all. And the closest they can come, as far as I know, are what are called the codexes, which were written maybe as early as 300 AD or so. 300 AD. So the closest we can get to the original Greek scriptures is about 300 AD or a couple of hundred years after they were written. But what I want to say is this. I'll just mention this real quick. From what I realize and from what I study, right or wrong, is this. Is that when the scriptures came out, they were gobbled up by people and they were copied in languages all over the place. Languages here, there. And there was multiple copies of scriptures in different languages for a couple hundred years. And then the Catholic Church, from what I understand, scooped them up as much as they could, destroyed as much as they could, and turned it all back into one language that they controlled. That's what happened. So it went out in the Koine to many languages, got scooped up into one by the evil one through a power structure. And then that went on for about 1,000 years, called the Dark Ages. And see, so you can see Satan at work trying to destroy the scriptures there. And then these men gave their lives to bring it out into multiple languages, and here you sit. And one of the scriptures that came over. I forgot the name of the scriptures that came over on the Mayflower, but it's a copy. I forgot the name of it. But there's a certain, you can buy one if you got a couple of grand. I forgot the name of it. But there was a certain copy of the scriptures that came right over on the Mayflower. And then they used the scriptures and they eventually evangelized Indians and stuff like that with it. But it was a copy. But that's an interesting study. But let's get into these words, okay? That's just some information, and I think I'm pretty correct on that, by the way. So it's not like I'm trying to spew out something to make myself impressive or something like that. It's not that at all whatsoever. I mean, these are beautiful things. You sit here in a time that's like incredible for you to be sitting here, to be living in this time. Real bad times, crazy times. Sick times, wild times, scary times, but as far as the Lord's Word's concerned, you got multiple avenues of study, multiple scriptures flowing all around you, the Word of God more abundant than ever, the helps, the computers, the Greek text, the fonts, the everything, more than ever right now. And in all of that, you were chosen by Almighty God to know His secret counsel. No, I can say that. It's hard for me to believe that He chose me. What? You know, I was talking to Ron the other day. I said, well, if I went up to some members of my family and I said, yeah, I was a chosen member adopted son of God, chosen before the foundation of the world. Oh, sure, Mike. Sure, you were. Yeah, whatever makes you happy, that's That's a, you know, if your religion, your religious standpoint makes you feel good, that's fine. That's fine, Mike. You know, and it's like they're saying, yeah, sure. But do we really believe that? And it's true. And it's true. Whatever this flesh, weakness of this flesh, it's true. Or else God's a liar, and he's not. Okay, so you were placed in this time, and I know that this is all true for all of you. And I know that at times you must be stunned about it. You must be, if you have a good heart and faithful Lord. Okay, here we go. Paul, an apostle, I'm going to read Ephesians 1, all right? Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus. And peace from God our Father and from Jesus Christ. Blessed be. Gaitas. See, the accent is on this part of the word. And this is just, that's a breathing thing, that comma. If it's going to the left, it's a soft breathing. Ooh. If it was going to the right, it would be who. So it's ula, zeta, ula, ge, tas. Ula, ge, tas. That's how you pronounce that word. Ula, tas. And it means blessed be. Well, it's very important because the Apostle Paul in Ephesians 1 is saying, before he unfolds this miraculous, marvelous truth, he's saying, blessed be the Father. And certainly he should be. Okay? I think that's the thrust of it. So I looked up ula getas, and this is what it means. All right? And this is how this study is going to go for 14 words that are really important to you and I. Lagetas, blessed be, worthy of praise or blessing. It's a word that is used of one that should be praised. A form of it is used of the Son of God when it's talking about the Blessed One, Ulagetu, talking about Christ, the Blessed One. In the New Testament, this word is only used the Father and the Son of God. Because what it is, it's saying, blessed be and worthy to be said to be blessed because of what they've done for us. And so Paul is opening up Ephesians 1 with praise to their name as they deserve. Really. And you can get more of a thrust out of this for yourself. But that's what I gain. Ula geitas. Blessed be. And they're worthy of being blessed because of who they are and what they've done. That's how Paul is beginning Ephesians 1. And then we come to the classic. Yes. This is the gold, diamonds, rubies, and everything, right? Okay, so it goes on. Just bear with me. In Ephesians 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings, every blessing spiritual, en tois, epuran, nois. N. Not a hard breathing. A soft breathing. N. Tois. This is a accent. A particular accent. Epuranios. That's how you say that. Epuranios. N. Tois. Epuranios. And see, you can say, well, you're really a stickler. You're going overboard with this pronunciation. No. And I learned this from Eddie the Greek. You pronounce everything as correctly as you can because this is the Word of God. And so you want to be as correct as possible with it. And I think there's a knowledge, there's a beauty that comes to that as you get familiar with these words. And once you start getting... See, I'm no expert by any means. But I know that after a while when I start reading this, rather than this being like a scary jumbled mess, I start looking at the word for predestination, for a sonship adoption, and it starts becoming, oh, that's familiar. Huiotesion. Oh, I know that anytime. I know that. It's just like the word truck. Huiotesion, sonship adoption. I know that, no problem. That's in there. That's staying there. See, and then after a while, you get used to that. And you see, oh, more words that, oh, yeah, hey, this is getting pretty good. Hey, I can translate three words. You know? Oh, I can translate half a sentence. Hey, this is getting pretty much fun. Hey, I might even have a mind or a brain. I might even know something. After a while, you start feeling like that, rather than, oh, man, that's way too beyond me. No, it's not at all. You just have to work at it. Okay, this is a really good one. En tois pranios. I'll know that this means in the heavenlies. But let's look at it a little bit closer. En is a preposition with various uses. When it used of a place, which we believe that the heavenlies is, it means in, within, or really, this is kind of neat, it means within-ness. Within-ness. Denoting a position. Twice is a dative case, that's it's a plural of the. So it's within the, in the plural, uranios is heavens, if you chop it off here, but we have a preposition epi without the iota. So epi, it's a preposition with a basic meaning of on or upon. And then uranios is heaven. What dwells in the heavens? What comes from heaven? Or heavenlies? In, within, the plural, upon heavenlies. This is where our manifestation is going to take place. And, of course, this is only found five times in all of the scriptures, well, all of the New Testament. Ephesians alone, talking about our wonderful, awesome calling, which is very true. So all of a sudden, Paul is... One verse earlier is talking about blessed be to the Father and the Son, and then he's going to unfold a hidden mysterion, and I'll get that word, which is interesting. All right, so I know personally that so far in my personal experience, that even if I went this far, even if I studied this and stopped, it would be doing a lot better for me than the English alone. Because I'd say, oh, well, en tois epiraneois, five times in the scriptures, does that mean something? Only found in Ephesians, does that mean something? Only found in Ephesians after Acts 28, does that mean something? You know, it just keeps on going. And it does mean something because it's the Word of God. See, so you can, and then we're supposed to endeavor in the Word of God. Well, you know, I would have to say this, that that our dear Heavenly Father is brilliant. Because you could say, well, yeah, that's a pretty stupid statement. No, he's a mastermind. He's a mastermind because he knows our frame. He knows what we're like. He knows that we can be somewhat lazy. We can be gimme. We can be, I want to know that right now. We can be, I want to know that and I don't want to do any work for it. He knows that. So he's brilliant in his scriptures. He is. Because he wants you to diligently seek after him in his word. And he's not just going to gimme without you working for it. And sometimes you're going to have to, like some of these inventors, do something wrong. Some inventors have tried hundreds of times before they get it right. I can see that in Bible studies sometimes. Sometimes just in particular things. All of a sudden, oh man, a few years later, oh. And see, those are, if you ever had that experience, those are the blessings where you know he's actually working in you. Piddly me or you, if I can say that. And see, that's why he's a mastermind that way. His word is like that. Yeah, and I know that to be true. Either that or I'm really out of it. I know that to be true. I've been studying for 32 years now, and that's what I know to be true. That he is not going to just gimme. You know, because we're of the character of, oh yeah, I know that. What's next? You know, or trample on it without revering it correctly. I think I'm right about this. Okay, so we go on. Am I doing all right? I got a little bit of time left. Here we go, another important word. Blessed be, in verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings en tois epiranios, in Christ, as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Can you believe it? You know, I'll just say this, I don't have a word for this yet. This isn't a word for that. But being before him holy and without blame, I'll really take that. When I think about Mike, and I think about, oh, wretched man that I am, I know what that is. When Paul says, oh, wretched man that I am in Romans, I know what that is. And if I can appear before him, Almighty God, holy and without blame, oh, really? That's what my mind says. Really? Are you kidding, Lord? Forever? Really? That in itself is incredible. It is. That's what it does to my mind. And we go on. According as he has chosen before the, having predestinated us, this is that. Arisas hemas. Okay, so let's go over this. We have a hard breathing over this letter, eta. It's pra, because this letter is omicron. Some people would go pro-oresis, but that isn't O, it's A, omicron. Pra-arisas. Pra-arisas, this is a hard breathing. Hey, instead of A, it's hemas. Pra-arisas, hemas. And what this is, what this means, is it means predestinated or foreordained us. Foreordained us. Hamas is us. And you'll find Hamas a lot. Because the Father is pouring things out to us. Hamas. So you'll find foreordained us, predestinated us, blessed us, You'll find this word a lot. And it's like you, after a while you become overwhelmed with the heart of the Father. You just do. The heart of the Father is overwhelming in our calling. It's overwhelming. We can get to know the love of the Father personally in our calling. And proarisas is a predestination or foreordination, I heard is a better word, foreordinated us, decided on beforehand. He determined us in advance. So we were in his mind in advance before the overthrow or foundation of the world. That's what this word brings out. And see, I can love this word. See, that's, I can love it. Praarisis. I can say, oh, praarisis. That's the Father predestinating me. Is that real? You know, is it real or not? And, you know, this is more real than my job. It's more real than anything. It's more because this is a speck in time and this is eternal in time. So I love this. The Holy Spirit, through the hand of Paul, praarisas. That's what originally came out, rather than foreordained. So I love it. I can love it. Or learn to love it.
Doggone it, I didn't want to do that.
Am I still okay? Oh, I didn't wreck it. Okay. You guys doing all right with this? I hope I'm not putting you to sleep, am I? All right. Yeah, it gets interesting as it goes because it never ends. I mean, the more you get into our calling and the Greek scriptures, it just becomes overwhelming. All right? And I read something in an article by a Baptist minister of 86 years old. And he said, you know, a lot of people run here and there to taverns, games, blah, 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 for joy. He said, this is joy. This is joy. This is happiness. This is mental stability, love, many, many things. That's what this provides. You don't have to be running anywhere in the world. And he's right. All right, let's move on. According as he has chosen us in him, praarisis. Oh, no, that's not praarisis. According as chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having praarisis, having predestinated us unto. This is my wife's and I call letters on the internet. Huia thesian. Huia thesian. Yeah, I should say that. Huia thesian. Hui. Hui. It's huia thesian. Thesian. Huia thesian. See, this is a hard breathing. It moves to the right rather than to the left, so it's a hard breathing sound. Huia, hui, this is we, huia, thesian. And see, this is you. This is you because in Ephesians 1, it says, it states, having predestinated us unto the adoption, and it should be sonship adoption. In the English, they have children. And some lady, I think it was a lady, really railed on me the other night over on Pal Talk because I said, this is one of the most awesome blunders in the King James that I've ever seen. Huiothesian means sonship. adoption. Technon is the word for children. It's not huiothesian, it's like black and white. How could these guys make such a mistake? How could they put children in Ephesians 1? In Ephesians 1, is that 5? Yeah. It's crazy. You scratch that word off big time. It's not children, it's sonship adoption. Well, this lady said, "Are you sure you're right?" I think it was a lady. She typed it in there. I said, "Yeah, it's huiothesian. It's, you know, you'd have to be." I basically said you'd have to be pretty pretty out of it not to see that. You know, one word's sonship, the other word's children. She said, "Well, what about men and women?" And I said, "What?" Well, she said, "Can a woman be a son?" And I said, "Yeah." I said, "A woman is a son. There's no sex in the heavenlies. You know, that's scriptural. There's no men and women in the heavenlies. They're sons, adopted sons." She says, "Well, I think the King James had it more right than you because they recognize men and women here." And I'm like, "Lady," I'm like, "I don't," or whoever. I said, "You know, I'm not here to argue with you. You know," I said, You can look at the original, you can study the Greek, you can look at the word, and then you make your own decision. You know, but she was dead set on you're not recognizing women here. And that's not true at all. It's crazy. That's like a tangent argument that how are you going to convince this one of anything, sort of thing. But, yeah.
Is that Theo in there?
What?
Is that Theo in there?
Theo, no. No, it's huiothesian. And, you know, you guys can stop me. I'm going to go until my time's up. How much time do I got? Bob? 15:20, okay. Okay, huiothesian means sonship adoption bestowed upon chosen believers. In Christ Jesus. It means a son placing. And if you study the scriptures, you'll find that there's, as far as I know, I'm no expert, I can be taught anything. As far as I know, there's three of these major ones in the scriptures. And then there's a number of more general callings. There's specific sonship callings, three of them, and then there's at least three more general, we'll call them callings. Some say, well, it's not a calling. Okay. If you maybe technically speaking, this is a calling. And the general proclamation in John is not a calling, technically, maybe. I'm not sure on that myself yet. You know, but I'm not going to get bent out of shape over whether it's a proclamation or a calling in John. I'm not going to get bent out of shape. I'm not going to argue about it. But I do know that this is a calling. And I know that we are a calling. We are a sonship adoption. And that's something special to the Lord. It's special to the Lord. You know, so are we saying that we're somebody special? That was a comment that I dealt with for years and years and years out of a certain amount of people. Got beat up really bad mentally over it. Lost dear friends over it. Because they believe that everybody that names the name of Christ belongs to this huiothesian, whether they know it or not. So you got a group of many people throughout the world that think that we think we're something special. And I dealt with that for years, and it was tough to do because I had to leave people behind. The thing of it is that we don't say we're special people at all. If anybody says that we are, it's Almighty God. You know? And I guess the argument would be, do you believe that you are of a calling that you don't know about? I mean, where's the precedent of that in the scriptures? Is there any? I mean, seriously, I'm asking, this is nonchalant here. You guys are all students of the Word of God, brothers, whether you're female or male, you're all brothers in the Lord here. Is there a precedent to that in the scriptures anywhere? Could anybody tell me that they might know one? Where God gives you something of Himself, but you don't know it? I don't find it. You know, I mean, even if you were called during the Acts period as a Jew, believing in Christ, did you know it? Yeah. You knew it. If you were called as a Gentile, that was part of a branch that was grafted in. Did you know it? Yeah. Yeah, you knew it, right? Because Paul told you and he said, hey, don't get too high-minded over being a grafted in branch because you're getting grafted into a holy root. They seem to know their calling. Right? So, I don't see a precedent to their mindset. And that really bothers me because they come out with attacks against really the Lord. They're attacking the Lord and His truth. They're not attacking me. I mean, we're going to have things no matter, you know, if they throw knives at us or whatever they want to do. You know, that's not going to stop the Lord, them beating up this flesh or anything at all. I just don't understand how they can think as they do and where their precedent is. So I'm just going to throw that out because that has to do with huiotheseon, with this calling that we have and we know. And as we go on with these words, the Word of God proves it. In the word musterion. Because musterion is a revealed sacred secret. And, well, I'll get into that. And the only reason why you know what you do is it's from revelation of the Most High God. It is. Now, okay, Mike, you know, I mean, somebody could come at you again. Okay, Bob, what? Oh, yeah, you're called, you have revelation from Almighty. Okay, sure, Bob. Sure you do. Yeah, we'll call you later, Bob, you know. We'll see you next month. You know, they could come at you like that, and they will. You know, that's a little bit of suffering. Big deal. You know? Huiotheseon. You are adopted, even if you're a female. Yeah. Are there any great women in the scriptures? Sometimes the women were better than the men. Yes. So what's the deal? What's the argument? Sometimes women hold everything together when the men are schnooks and run off. You know? Happens in the scriptures too. Okay, going on. Are you guys okay with this? We're just going to go for a little while. And I got a few more minutes. I don't think I'm going to get through all this. But we'll get to I'll just get to some words and we'll quit and we'll let everybody, you know, take a rest or something. But as you go on, these words doing this becomes really beautiful. Here's one. I'll just get through Ephesians, then I'll quit. All right, I'll get through about 9 of these. But I'll get to a couple of them that are really awesome here. All right, it goes on to say, having predestinated us, in verse 5 of Ephesians 1, unto the adoption of sons, sonship adoption. And by the way, researching this word, huiotheseon, do it. There's more to the story about these words than I'm just giving you. This is just a surface thing, but there's more beauty and depth in these words, by the way. Okay. Pardon me?
Oh, man.
Where is a good book? Okay, well, you have to get yourself a good lexicon, which is a Greek dictionary. And sometimes Thayer's is a good lexicon. And then there's a lexicon. Here's one of the best of all time. The Analytical Lexicon of the Greek by Timothy Freiberg. F-R-I-B-E-R-G. See, and how do you really know what a word means? This one is really good. Thayer's is really good. You take, I remember Oscar Baker saying, and he's no, Oscar Baker isn't God. Neither is Welch or Lamborn. They're not God. They're men just like, and humans like we are. They are. They put their pants on and socks on just like we do. You know, so their words are awesome and their works are awesome because their hearts were into it. And maybe, I was going to say maybe they spent more time at it or made more sacrifice. But you know what? It depends. It depends upon what your life is. It's like the widow's mite. She didn't give $1 million. She gave a mite, which is, I don't know, a bit of a cent. But that was everything she had. So sometimes I think, oh man, about myself, I'll never be a Welch. Maybe you were never meant to be, Mike. Maybe your race is as good as his by what you do. Maybe you're not going to put out 21 volumes of stuff. But maybe your walk is just as good as him. You know, so what I'm saying to you is that these men, yeah, they put out their effort and time maybe more than any of us ever will. But their word is not gospel. Let me take that word back because I want to look at a word for gospel. It's not gospel. Their word is not, I don't like the word gospel at all. It's good news. There's many good news. We'll get to that. I got to get to that one. Their word is not from God himself. So they can be wrong too. I don't want to belabor that. All right. So you can be right about certain things that they might have been wrong at. Don't ever think that you can't be. But I think basically, the basics of everything, if I can say that even, to our calling are there. They should be there in all of us. The basics of our calling should be there in all of us. Can we disagree on certain things? Sure. I think that's the genius of the Lord. That's why we're different. That's why we're not robots. That's why we have free choice. It's amazing. You know, we're all different. He could have made us perfect in a flash. We could think the same thing, say the same thing, be the same way, perfect. Right? Yes, but we're not. And the reason we're not is it's a master mindful thing that we're not. Because we all come from different angles. And like I was sitting there at lunch today with a bunch of guys. And, you know, I asked a question about 1 Timothy and we were talking. And Tommy said one thing, and Ronnie said another thing, and all of a sudden, you know, I'm like, oh no, Barney's going to talk now. And and Barney said one thing, and it was like, man, this is great because, hey, I can check out, and they all didn't say the same thing about a certain verse, and I can check that out, and I can try to understand it. And we have three guys that are certainly sons of God, and they have different angles on things. It's great. That's what I think makes us great here. You know, I really do. Okay, so let's go on. I'm going to cover. I'm going to cover 1, 2, 4, maybe 5 more words. Okay, is that okay? Can you handle 5? 5. You can handle 5. Sure you can. Okay, verse 6, to the praise of his glory, wherein he has made us accepted. We got to put this one in there, because remember what's gone before, Remember, blessed be. Here's another reason why. Blessed be. Because highly favored. Ekarizōsin. This is a rho, iota, tau. And when these are together, it's a rizo, rizo. X, this is a, it's not a hard breathing, so it's X, a rizo, sen. Here's the O in omega. That's the O sound. X, a rizo, sen. Here we got Hamas. He favored us. So not only did he bless us, not only did he foreordain us, but lo and behold, a couple verses later, he favored us. Do you get the gist of what's going on here? See, I think and I truly believe that one of the works that's negative on us is we don't realize how much we're blessed. And that's not to say we're supposed to be walking around like da 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 da. You know, not at all. We're supposed to be humble, very much so. The more we understand about the Lord, the more humble we are, rather than the more pride we are. That can only be understood by you through the Holy Spirit. Ekarizo sin made us accepted, highly favored us through divine grace. Of course, as you probably know, the only other time that this word was used in the New Testament, it's used of Mary, the mother of Christ. Does that mean anything? You better believe it does. You better believe it does. If we don't want to recognize it, it's our problem. It's not the Lord's. We are as highly favored or more so than she was. True or false? You know, look what we're dealing with. And what are the words? Thank the Lord that we can know these things. You know, just that we can get up every morning, live, breathe, and know such things. Really. What's coming for us is certainly incredible. It is now. It starts to be incredible now. Oh. Right. Okay. Here's one. Now, this is an awesome word. I'm going to be talking about this word a little bit more fully tomorrow myself with respect to Bob. Bob put down some, I said to Ron, Bob must be a genius because he put down three verses in amongst other verses that are, whoa. I think it's Ephesians 3, 1 through 10. There's a lot in there. And but, well, how many speakers we have? So I'm going to work on a tangent. I'm going to take this word and search it out with all respect to the Lord and Bob. Because I thought, hey, there's a lot of guys that are going to be talking about things. Similar, maybe, maybe not. It all really is going to work together. All right, here's a word we should really know. Ta, not to, ta, musterion. Musterion. Ta, musterion. That's how it's originally pronounced. Now, musterion. We read, in whom, in verse 7, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Remember what's gone on already. Remember what's gone on already. And I didn't cover all of it. wherein he has abounded towards us in the all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us ta musterion his will. It just doesn't quit. It just doesn't quit. And okay, this is a word that it means a sacred secret that can be revealed. Once it's revealed, it's not a secret. But if it's revealed to Bob and not to me, it's a secret to me still. And overall, it's not a secret. Okay? So it's a sacred secret of God that can be revealed, has been revealed, but it's not known by many. So, interesting. Ta musterion. No matter what the mystery, no matter what the sacred secret, what can only be known through revelation mediated from God Himself. All you got to do is read Ephesians 1, 16 through 19, where the Apostle Paul prays about you that the eyes of your understanding might be enlightened through the revelation of the Father. So, what you know, whether you want to acknowledge it or not, is revelation mediated by God Almighty Himself. That is a fact. It doesn't matter what anybody says. It doesn't matter how you feel physically at all. That is a fact. So what you know about mysterion truth is revealed, a revelation from God Himself. He's chosen you. I don't say it. He says it. I don't say it. He says it. And otherwise, this isn't true. Really. And you know, lately it's like, do I really believe that this is the word of Almighty God? Do I really believe it? Really? That I hold within my hand the words of Almighty God. Do you believe it? I said this at another conference. Yes, I believe it. Well, if you believe that to be true and you neglect this, you're crazy. I'm crazy. Right? So how much of responsibility do we take in our hearts to this? And whose fault is it if we're not responsible to Almighty God's word that we hold in our hand? You know? See, I'm saying this to me more than to you. You know, I realize this. I get on me because I said I wouldn't give you 2 cents for a truckload of me. I wouldn't. And, you know, but thank the Lord what He's done even in spite of that. You know, so I'm saying this to me. This is how we understand this. Ta musterion. A sacred secret that can be revealed, has been revealed. It's only known by human beings through revelation of God Himself, mediated by Him. That's a fact. Through the Holy Spirit. You're sealed with the Holy Spirit in Ephesians 1. This Holy Spirit works with the Word of God and you understand these things to His glory and your glory and amazement. If you've ever sat there and went, wow, look at this. Why doesn't anybody want to know this? You know, if you've ever said that, there it is. Specifically and most accurately, this is what this means. Listen to this and put this in your brain about this word, musterion. It's supreme, redemptive revelation. Supreme, redemptive revelation. It doesn't matter what mystery you're looking at in the scriptures. And I'm going to get into this tomorrow whether you're talking about the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, whether you're talking about the mystery of the blindness of Israel, or if you're talking about the mystery concerning the church, which is the body of the fullness of the Son of God, it's all supreme, redemptive revelation, because it's all redemptive in nature. That's the best way, as far as I know, to describe that word. Okay? Just got a couple more and that'll do it. But the point I want to make is that these are just a dozen or so words. Just think if you went into this for a week yourselves and looked at 100 words in these two epistles. Okay, that's a point I want to make. All right, it's a point I want to make to you. All right? Here, it just keeps on going, folks. Here we go. Just think about what came before, and here we go. It's just endless. I'm telling you. That's what happens to my mind. I can't do this. Okay, here we go. So what has he done? He's predestined us. He's highly favored us. We have every spiritual blessings in the realm that he dwells in. He's provided a supreme redemptive revelation, his very mind to us. Come on! Come on! Is this real? Is it true? Where is he? Is this true, Lord? I mean, really, that's what I do. I look out in the heavens and is this real? Are you doing this, Lord? You know, he is. You know? And it keeps on going. Okay, it goes on to say, having made known unto us the mystery of his will. That's something that we got to know. Will. His will. Oh, really? Oh, well, here it is. Two. Phlegmatas. Two. The will of him. Two. Phlegmatas. Two. Well, this should probably be capital. Do you know the various aspects of the will of God? I gave a message on this on Pell Talk. Oh yeah, well, which aspect of his will is this? Think about what's gone before already. I'm saying, it's incredible. We're going to concentrate on what thelematos means. This is an aspect of the Father's will. Oh, really? Well, are there various aspects to somebody's will? Yeah. There's various aspects. There's an emotional aspect to the will. There's a determinate will. There's a plan. If I'm God and my plan, I'm determined the plan's going to work out. It's going to work out. It doesn't matter who's in the way, what's in the way, what anybody feels, whatever. It's working. And then there's a will of the heart. Something when you see your son or your daughter and you will things out of your heart rather than determining that he or she is going to do it. Well, this is God the Father's heart's will that comes in amidst all the things we've been talking about. Important because this aspect is all over our calling. There's different Greek words for the word will. This one is our calling. Thelematos. This dominates our calling. It's the aspect of God's will that conveys his desire of his heart rather than the aspect of his will that is his resolve or his determination. He does this for us because he loves us out of the will of his heart. All over our calling. Here's one. I just got a couple more. Two more. Here's one we should know about. This is important. Having made known unto us the mystery of his will, verse 9, according to his good pleasure, which he has purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are in earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance. Wrong. In whom we have obtained an inheritance. That's not totally correct, those words in verse 11. This is why. Because of this word. This is the word for those words, having obtained an inheritance. That's how they translated it. This is the word that they translated it from. Ekleiro themen. Ekleiro themen. This is what this word actually means. And you can prove this out in Greek grammar. The proof of that, I can do some other time. You could say, well, who are you to say that they translated this wrong? Because it's proven out in this ending, according to Greek grammar. And what this really means is this. It means that we were chosen as his inheritance. He obtained us as an inheritance. We didn't obtain an inheritance. He chose us as his inheritance. Does it make a difference? Is there a difference in that? Yeah. Yeah, because if we look at what came before in the thelematos, in the choosing, in the foreordination, in the blessing, in the sphere, in the Son of God, in the favoring of us, he chose us as his inheritance. It just doesn't quit. We are his inheritance. Do we have an inheritance? Yes. But we were chosen as his inheritance. Ekleiro themen. Very important. Dan?
Hold on. I'm gonna wreck this thing on you. How much does this cost?
What? Okay, I guess I'll have to sell my car. Okay, here's one. Flatty, that's good. I like that guy. Yeah, more than $2. Hold it here. Oh, I'm slipping. Oh man, I'm gonna fall down over my transparencies. I'll get me yet. Yeah, by the way, we had a really interesting time with these transparencies. I want to tell you that, first of all, my bulb burned out. I plugged this thing in. It's a little aside, a little humorous aside. My bulb burnt out on this, so I'm like, oh, no. So we're like, oh, where do I get a bulb? Ronnie over there says, oh, let's go to Staples in Kokomo. Okay. So we drive over there. Oh, lo and behold, they have one. $25. Pick it up. Bring it back, and we plug it in, and Ron's face is like this, whammo, it blinds him, you know. And so I'm like dinking around, and all of a sudden I put my transparencies on here, and my words are too big. My words went farther out beyond these margins and this was at 8:30 last night. I'm like, oh, no. What do I do now? And Ron says, oh, maybe we can call up Staples again, and they can reduce your transparencies 20% and remake them. I'm like, yeah, sure, right, Ron. And they did it, and we picked them up about 2 hours before I came here. So this has been a really, really wild. Just so you know that, and I almost fell on one. So they're trying to get me some. Here's a word, and then I'll end with this. This might be out of this is the word for gospel. All right, maybe I got to go through. Reading it, I'll just tell you that this is the word for gospel. I don't like the word gospel myself too much at all. I don't, because what happens is people of the world, or people of less studied people, maybe by their own choice. You know, I think that people choose what they know. You know, Peter talks about people being willingly ignorant. You know, people don't want their lives rattled too much. All right, well, that's their lot then. You know what I'm saying? I mean, the Lord doesn't force himself on anybody. The English in Ephesians 3 says that to make all see what is the dispensation of the mystery, it's not the correct rendering at all. You can't make anybody do anything. God doesn't make you do anything. He doesn't make you see anything. To enlighten all as to what is the dispensation of the mystery is a correct rendering there. To enlighten all. You enlighten somebody, what they do with it is their business. That's the way the Lord is. Would you agree with that or not? Hey, anything I'm saying up here, you walk up to me and say, hey, I don't know about that, Mike. That's great. That's fine. That's what I'm here for too. You know, but that's how I see it. We're all free will agents. And as free will agents, that's how we're bringing glory to the Lord, by choosing him, choosing his word, choosing his calling, talking about his word, getting together here, expending our energies. And if I can lowly say our monies, I don't even like thinking about things like that. I don't think, oh man, I'm gonna spend $500 this weekend driving to that Peru over there to see that Pete in his place. You know, I don't think like that at all. I'm like, oh man, hey, we're gonna get together with the saints and, you know, I'm glad I can do this. You know, not saying I'm anything. I'm just saying there's different attitudes out there in life. A lot of various attitudes. So, the Lord doesn't make us do anything, but if we choose him, it's to his glory. I believe I'm right about that. Okay. Oh. This is an interesting one to pronounce, and then I'm gonna end with this. I have a few more, but this is the word for gospel in the New Testament. This is how you pronounce this. Euangelio. Angelio. Yeah. Euang, and actually when you have a double consonant, there's an N sound in it. Euangelio. Euangelio, actually, sorry. Euangelio. And if you're a real pro, this turns into Wangelio. Uangelio. If you're a real pro, it runs together. I learned this from Eddie the Greek. Wangelio. Wangelio. Uangelio. Wangelio. That's the word for gospel, as it's so translated in the New Testament. I don't like the word gospel, because what people of the world do is they say, the same gospel that's in Mark is the same gospel that's in Acts, it's the same gospel in John, and it's the same gospel in Ephesians, which is a slap in the face to Almighty God, really, when it comes right down to it. If I was the Lord Jesus Christ here, and you said that to me, and you said, oh no, Lord, the same gospel that's in Matthew is the same gospel spoken of in Timothy, and that's the same gospel in Ephesians, and it's the same gospel in Romans. And what are you telling me, Lord? What would he say to you? I mean, really, what would he say to you? Oh yeah, you're right. Oh yeah. Yeah, you're right. Oh yeah. Whatever you want. Whatever you want. Oh sure, you're right. Whatever you want, whatever you think. Is that what he would say to you? I don't think so. This is his word, you know. So that's what irritates me personally about, oh, the gospel. The gospel message. And you're supposed to think of Matthew. That's ridiculous. That's ridiculous. I said one time out in California, or Arizona, I don't know why I keep on calling you guys California. I said, let's say a calculus teacher came in here and you were sitting there going, man, did you ever hear that 3 times 3 is 9?
And I said, yeah, I want to show you the proof of this. Oh, no. Mike, 3 times 3 is 9. Yeah, but I'm trying to help you understand how you calculate so you can create this water tower over here through these different proof texts in the calculus. Mike, 3 times 3 is 9. You know, after a while, box that guy up and get him out of here, right? And that's what they're doing with the Word of God. They're constantly harping on something that, in a real sense, is not for them. And then they're perverting the Word of God by wrongly applying truths to the wrong places. And they do that through a word, the word gospel. And that's why I don't like it. The word is good news. And God has wangaleo. He has many good newses in the scriptures, not just one. And that's the point. Wangaleo. Wangaleo, right. Good news. In the New Testament, it's used only of God's messages pertaining to salvations, callings, and adoption. This form, and by the way, there are no words in the Greek. They're either forms or roots. So when you say the Greek word, that could be maybe interjected with root. But you have Greek roots, and then you have many forms of those roots. And a lot of times people will go, oh, the Greek word for that, and they'll be talking about a form. And you could say, well, you are really out there with these technicalities, but this is the Greek. So this form has to do with God's messages, his adoptions, his calling. It can denote the act of proclaiming the good news, the service in the good news, the spread of the good news, and the content of the good news. And there's many good newses in the scriptures. Thanks very much for your attention. I hope this was okay.